Today, top U.S. intelligence officials told members of Congress that Iran is unlikely to provoke a conflict, it's not likely that Iran will produce a nuclear weapon, and Israel has not decided to strike Iran. Yesterday, of course, Iran showed off what it said are new nuclear capabilities, and today, Thailand's top policeman says three Iranians detained after they accidentally set off explosives in Bangkok were planning on attacking Israeli diplomats. Israel claims Iran was also responsible for two other attacks this week in India and the former Soviet Republic of Georgia, and Israel has stepped up security for its diplomats posted overseas. So where are we on Iran-Israel tensions? The BBC's Iran correspondent James Reynolds joins us from London. James, the Thai police chief saying that the Iranians detained were planning to attack Israeli diplomats. What more do we know?
General Prayulpan Dhammapong, who's the chief of police, made it very clear, Robin. He said, "This much I can tell you, the target of the operation was specifically the Israeli diplomatic staff." And one of Israel's foreign ambassadors has also effectively confirmed that news by saying that he too suspected that the target that the Iranians were after in Thailand was Israeli diplomatic staff as well.
And in the other attacks this week, an Israeli diplomat was injured in Delhi after a motorcycle rider attached an explosive to her car, and a bomb beneath an Israeli diplomat's car in Tbilisi, Georgia, was found and defused. This comes as we had heard weeks ago that intelligence showed that Iran was willing to make attacks outside the country, but Iran has also claimed that Israel has made attacks within its country against nuclear scientists. So give us more about this, what seems to be a tit for tat.
I think that that context, Robin, as you suggest, is very important. Iran feels bitterly angry from its point of view at what it calls the assassinations of nuclear scientists over the last couple of years in Tehran. Three have been killed, another was injured, and even when President Ahmadinejad was inaugurating new nuclear facilities in Tehran on Wednesday, the families of the nuclear scientists, of the assassinated nuclear scientists, were invited. Indeed, one person told me they were renaming some of the reactors after those killed nuclear scientists. So on the one hand, it's very much at the center of Iran's political discourse, the fact that they feel that Israel has got into their territory and killed some of their leading scientists. Of course, whether or not Iran has actually carried out reprisal attacks outside its territory, of course, that's what Thailand says. That's what Israel alleges as well. And of course, just to be fair, we have to add that Iran denies that it has had anything to do with the attacks in Iran, the former Soviet Republic of Georgia and Thailand.
But still, it seems like some sort of proxy war. And it comes as Israeli officials in the last, again, several weeks have been saying that they think that a window for opportunity for attacking Iran's nuclear facilities is closing because Iran is increasingly moving them underground. So, you know, this proxy war, I mean, very serious, people injured and killed. But can that sort of act as a valve to release some of this tension, or perhaps ratchet the tension up?
Robin, that's an interesting question. I've just come into the studio having read an article about the fact that cyber wars may provoke actual real wars, and there is a danger. A lot of people feel that cyber wars, proxy wars, skirmishes may lead to escalation if they're not highly controlled. Israel and Iran have been enemies since the Islamic Revolution, and in particular over the last 20 years or so, and there have been allegations on either side that each has gone after the other in indirect ways. Whether this kind of offensive will carry on or not, it's difficult to tell. Now, in terms of your other point about what Israel sees as a closing window of opportunity, a lot of listeners may think, well, hold on, we've been hearing this for years and years. Israel has continually said the window is closing. In particular, the latest thing said by Israel is by the defense minister, Ehud Barak. He suggested that Iran may have a zone of immunity once it moves its centrifuges, its uranium centrifuges, into essentially an underground bunker near the holy city of Qom. His characterization of a zone of immunity has been questioned by a number of officials, and particularly in the United States as well. And I understand one senior U.S. general has just been testifying in Congress saying he does not believe that Israel has yet made any decision to attack Iran.
Yeah. So where do you think this is going? The U.S. and other allies have imposed sanctions on Iran, sanctions having to do with banking and the selling of its oil. And Iran has threatened to cut off that oil to its partners in Europe. Saudi Arabia has stepped forward saying, we could replace Iran's oil, it doesn't matter. And then we see this flurry of activity. We see ships in the Strait of Hormuz. We see President Ahmadinejad in a white lab coat at a nuclear lab. Some are characterizing that as panic on the part of Iran. What are you seeing?
It's difficult to tell if that's panic or not. I think it's clear that Iran wants to demonstrate, Robin, that it is not affected by the sanctions. And of course, it was very interesting to see President Ahmadinejad in his white coat. Even he had rubber gloves on. I think some people would think although he has a PhD in traffic management, he actually prefers to play the part of nuclear physicist. But it's true, wherever you look, Iran does tend to be a story. In the news, there is that worry about the Strait of Hormuz, through which 20% of the world's oil is traded. And these sanctions have been played. And I think that's important. A diplomat I was speaking to the other day, a former diplomat, said that the West has now played its two most important cards, the EU oil embargo and United States financial restrictions against Iran's central bank. Israel for years had called for what it hoped would be crippling sanctions against Iran. It may be that those now are crippling sanctions. And of course, because of that, it may be that the Obama administration will tell Israel, we have done what you wanted. We have imposed crippling sanctions. Now give those sanctions a chance to work.
And to which Israel is responding what? Because isn't that the wild card here?
It is a wild card, and I think Israel is very much aware that it's seen as a wild card. And I think a number of conflicting statements by Israeli officials in the last few months really add to that. That at one point on the 18th of January, the Defense Minister Ehud Barak said that a preemptive attack by Israel was still long way in the distance, very, very far off. Yet he went to a Herzliya conference just a few days ago and suggested that that everyone needs to think about how to deal with Iran. And these differently calibrated statements make it very hard to predict what Israel is actually going to do.
It seems like the question is, how much huffing and puffing can each of the players do?
One article in the New York Times the other day suggested that the only two people who really know what Israel will do are the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, and the Defense Minister, Ehud Barak, who was himself at one point Israel's Prime Minister, that if there is any kind of Israeli preemptive strike, it will be decided by those two men, and then they will have to persuade their own security cabinet to carry out that strike. But just a little word about the diplomacy track. Iran wrote to the EU's High Commissioner for Foreign Affairs, Baroness Catherine Ashton, suggesting it was willing to resume talks. And the EU, I understand, is studying that offer at the moment. The IAEA, which is the United Nations Nuclear Agency, is due to visit Iran on Monday and Tuesday. So it may be that the West just has a pause, see what the inspectors has to come up with, see what their report is on the 5th of March when there's an IAEA board meeting. We may see more action or activity after that.
James Reynolds, the BBC's Iran correspondent, speaking to us from London. James, thank you.
My pleasure, Robin.